This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 6 o'clock on Dukes and Bell, the number one sports talk show in Atlanta for your ride home.
You strong? They said, I'm strong if you strong. I said, we strong then.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Poll question is up at 92.9 The Game on Twitter. With the Braves' great start to the season, should the team go ahead and give manager Brian Snicker a contract extension? You can tell us at Dukes and Bell 929. Yes, he deserves it, or no, wait till October. Both 7 to what?
53% say yes, he deserves it, while 47% say no, wait till October, like Mike said.
All right.
Right on. I would be part of that 47%, but I'm not allowed to vote, man. It corrupts the results. But, yeah, man, you know, Snicker's had some funky decisions at times when it comes to the bullpen, but then again, dialing up Culberson seems to work out the last couple of times he's put him out there.
It does. And, listen, this is one of those questions where, honestly, it could go either way. You know, if you are like Mike and you say, wait a minute, season's going well, this is great, but let's roll around until September or October. Right. Let's see how this thing plays out. And if he does prove himself, you know, again, we're ahead of schedule. Speaking of being ahead of schedule, you picking the Braves to go to the World Series? I don't think anybody was when the season started.
Right. I mean, but the good news is everybody who's been clamoring for that, when do we, you know, and it's kind of fun how we don't have all the three big three like you had with Avery and Smoltz and with Glavine back in the day, but you do see it now with certainly – Foltynewicz. I mean, Folty's been a guy where, like, hey, is he gonna really step up and take the next level? A complete game from Folty over the weekend. I mean, there's some really good things to be excited about with this pitching staff. So we'll talk more about that as part of the headlines.
All right, man, it is Dukes and Bell. Hit us up 404-741-0929, which is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We're going to give you another chance to win some money coming up in just a little bit. But let's get to our top three stories.
Time for Dukes and Bell, top three. The top three stories of the day.
Can I count it off?
Mike, the roof was open, and a lot of people enjoyed the roof being open. Obviously, we enjoyed a win much better than that. But what was your assessment on our Atlanta United as we started talking about not only what happened over the weekend, but now looking ahead, quick turnaround as the Atlanta United are going to be playing up in Kennesaw.
Yep, and you can't use all your international players. This is the U.S. Cup, which is basically all different levels of professional soccer in the States all play. It's kind of cool. So our former farm team, if you will, the Charleston Battery, will be playing. That's up at Fifth Third Stadium, right, up in Kennesaw.
Fifth Third Bank,
and
yep.
Mike and Jason will have the call. Jason Longshore is going to join us next segment to talk about United. Two things. The red card situation was just completely bizarre world, and no one really knew what was going on at the time. But you had a yellow card. You had a guy yelling at the ref. Some people thought it was an infraction during the penalty kick. Either way, before you know it, pow, pow, you got two guys down for the Philadelphia Union. And Joseph Martinez gets a hat trick, two of which come from the penalty kicks. It just seems like once you, with the firepower we have, Carl, and you have a two-man advantage, I think everyone just assumed it was going to be like a turkey shoot. You know, it was going to be like 6-0. And then we gave up a goal, which kind of took some wind out of the sails. But the good news is we're in first place in the East. And the things I hope Tata can correct is we have this kind of thing when we get in the half court. When we're in transition now, we'll bring this up with Jason. We can really make beautiful things happen on the fly using our athleticism and speed. But sometimes, as you saw, they just park bodies in front of the net. And we couldn't penetrate that wall of human beings.
I also would like to see more of our guys just take the shot. I think we're being way too generous at times and trying to get other guys involved. Here's Julian Gressel talking about the atmosphere, which, you know, with the roof open was a little different.
It was a bit hotter and a bit more humid. But other than that, no, the atmosphere is still great, and it's not any quieter or anything. It's still pretty loud in there.
Listen, we've got the best home field advantage in the MLS. Maybe, you know, now you're talking about in the world of soccer. You start comparing our home field compared to other places. Gressel also talked about the fact that even though they weren't their best, they were able to get the points.
Didn't play that well, I thought, but we'll take 3 points. And sometimes those games are harder than playing against 11. So ultimately, we can have a win, and that's all that matters.
So you felt like we should have scored more goals.
I just think when you got a team like us when you're down, but we never really got a chance to run. And it seems like Gressel down the side, you know, it seems like they made adjustments. But Philadelphia, who in that arena or who in Mercedes-Benz didn't think it was going to be like 5 or 6-0 at that point? But 3-1, you hang on. It was a win, but it wasn't a satisfying win.
Yeah.
And I tweeted it, and I think some United fans agree with me, some disagreed. But we had a loss. We had a draw that felt like a loss, followed by a win that felt like a draw. So now we go to New York City. We had arguably our best match of the year against the best team in the league other than us in a 2-2 draw at Mercedes-Benz. We go to that crazy narrow pitch at Yankee Stadium. Very strange how that looks on TV, and it's got to be probably even stranger, Carl, when you could practically throw it in for a goal from the touchline.
That's Saturday, 12:30, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's hear from Michael Parkhurst, the captain, on what he thought.
It's difficult to take two penalties in one game. You know, and he's just cool and confident up there. Guys are doing a good job of getting him service. Miguel played him a great ball for the second goal. He loves scoring goals. He's very good at it, and we hope he gets his sixth really soon, too.
He's talking about Joseph Martinez with the hat trick.
Yeah, Joseph's on a ridiculous pace. And again, last year, if he's not injured when he had to play for Venezuela on the road, he would have had probably the MLS all. It could have been the MVP, potentially, based on the numbers he was putting up. But we've got so many weapons, even, you know, with the issues we thought about on defense, that really didn't manifest itself as a problem. So just hope that Tata can find a way to what, as you said, just get these guys to pull the trigger and a little more fluidity when we get into, and I'm using basketball analogies because I don't want to misspeak, but, you know, when we're in like the half court, if you will, when we're hitting the ball from side to side, pull the trigger, man. Get in the net.
Yeah, on those crosses. Hey, story number two, Braves, man, 35-24. We are 19-12 away from home, and they are going to be away from home this week as they start a series with San Diego tonight. Julio Teheran on the heel, but it was more about taking 3 of 4 from the Nationals. Let's hear from Dansby Swanson talking about the fact that guys just continue to come through.
You can't script it. It's truly, like, amazing just seeing how this team competes, and, you know, no matter what the game, the score, we just continue to do what we do, and we got all the faith in everybody in here, and it's like a family, and it's special to be a part of.
How about Culberson, man?
Armstead, make love to me. I will, honey. The Braves are red hot. Yeah, Culberson with another walk-off home run. And by the way, hats off to Anibal Sanchez against the, you know, even though they're banged up against the Nats, held them to just 2 runs, and then Culberson with another clutch piece of hitting. That's what's making this team so much fun to watch, and that's why, as we argued earlier with some listeners, why not now? Don't give up the family jewels to go acquire some talent, but why not be aggressive and try to make a run for it this year?
When you look at the standings, I mean, nobody is running away from us in the National League. Milwaukee's 37-23, right? They are ahead in the Central, ahead of the Cubs and St. Louis. We're 35-24. We're a game and a half now in front of the Nationals with those head-to-head matchups. But, you know, the Diamondbacks, for example, in the West, they're 31-27. Nobody's running away with this thing. Mike, we got a real shot. And as I said to start the show today, I am a believer. We're in June. I said, let's wait. We'll see where we're at. I think this team has the makings of doing something special.
Julio Teheran on the bump tonight, San Diego, and then the Dodgers, right? Is that how this road trip works, 3-3? But Sean Newcomb, by the way, another good quality start for Sean Newcomb. We mentioned Fulte in an era where nobody gives you complete games. Fulte does that and shows poise. Brandon McCarthy's been pleasant surprise as a veteran. Imagine if Teheran gets back to being the ace like he's supposed to be. We just laid it out. I mean, all you could argue is maybe one more starter, unless you trust Anibal Sanchez. You got all the pieces, and we keep hitting these benchmarks, okay? Oh, it's May 1st. It's Memorial Day. It's now we're into June. So what if this team is still leading by the All-Star break? Why not, if you're Anthopoulos, try to make a deal? Again, don't do anything stupid, but try to supplement that bullpen a little bit or maybe get another bat.
Yeah, when you talk about making a deal, guys, we're saying you're going to keep your core pieces. You're not moving these core pieces, but you have some pieces that you can possibly move.
Right.
Let's hear from Charlie Culberson.
Yeah, it's huge. Washington's a good ball club, obviously, but we took 3 out of 4, and there were some tough games there. Yeah, it's June, but these games matter as well. I mean, it was hot. It's been hot. Both teams have to play in it. But, yeah, just focus on every pitch and try not to look ahead.
Yeah, you don't win the pennant in September. You don't win your division in September. You win it now. You got to get out and win these head-to-head matchups. Hey, story number three, it's NBA Finals. Guy hit me up on Twitter, Mike. He says, Dukes, the Cavs do win a game. And they win because Golden State wants to celebrate on their home court.
All right, there's some logic there. I can agree with that.
Appreciate it, Doug. Cavs down 0-2. They head back to the land. Wednesday is game 3. Let's hear from Kevin Love on going back home. Now it's all about home court. Can they take advantage of it? Many of you think they won't.
Home court advantage can be a real thing. I mean, you look at, you know, how good the Warriors are here at Oracle. I mean, it's the same for us at home. We feel like we feed off of our crowd. You know, we really get up to play at home. And so we just have to be better. But I think, you know, just going home and being in front of our crowd for game three of the finals will be huge for us.
You know, it's just, it's frustrating if you are a LeBron James fan because, you know, other than Kevin Love, who's been solid, 22-21, there's just nobody out there you really trust. Now, unless you think the refs are going to become a bigger factor, you got to be conspicuous, right? You can't just be ridiculous in some of these scenarios. Some people, as you said, do feel the Cavs have gotten jobbed by the refs. Yeah, I guess, but who's taking the shot? You blew it. You had your chance to come back, tied a piece. The J.R. Smith thing is going to go down in infamy. It's one of the biggest boneheaded moves since Chris Webber called the timeout in the Final Four.
It will. It wasn't 2 seconds. It wasn't 1 second. It was 5 seconds, basically, on the clock that he dribbled out. Either way, we'll see where this goes. We've talked about it a lot today, and I just think it comes down to them Cavs playing better defense, making the shots that they're not making, and Mike believing that they can get back into this. I thought they had a great game plan in game one. Then, you know, you talk about that fill-out game. That was it. That's why that one got away from you, because you didn't expect LeBron to do what he did. You didn't expect him to be in it late, and then you let it get away from you. So now you've got to kind of come up with a different plan, and hopefully if they make some shots and play better D, they might be in it, but I'm still picking the Warriors. Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. Let's give you a chance to win some money right now.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
pick up the phone. Who does that anymore? P-H-O-N-E. Phone. Phone is the word.
You have a landline in your house?
Do not.
Phone. I don't think anybody... does anybody? I don't know. Phone. P-H-O-N-E. Phone. Phone. E.T. Phone home.
Yeah.
Phone, guys, to 72881. This is your last chance today to win $1,000 in our national signing bonus contest. So get on it. Phone to 72881.
It does kind of weird me out now, and I know there are some people who are listening who still do have landlines, obviously. But, like, the phone company, when you move in wherever and they offer, you know, do you want a landline? And you're like, what? Bo, you have one?
Oh, no. I've not had a landline since I left my parents' house.
Yeah. I bet your parents still have one, don't they?
That's right.
Yeah. See, that's because parents of a certain age, right, they have it because that's what they grew up on. I can't remember the last time we had a landline.
No, Bo's family, granted, they have a rotary phone, which I think is exciting. That's kind of, it's kind of an antique. It's interesting.
Craig,
it's
kind of
cool.
You don't have one either?
No, I don't, but my mom does at her house.
She does, right?
We make a joke because none of us know the number. So we're like, who's calling? She's like, this is Bill Collectors, but nobody knows this number.
All right, man, that's the code word. You have until the end of the hour to text it to 72881 for your chance to win some money. We were talking about our Atlanta United. You're going to hear from Jason Longshore coming up as he kind of helps us break down what he saw. Remember, this week is different. You got the Wednesday match. Again, not everybody's playing particularly in that match.
Right.
But then you turn right back around, Mike, and you're on the road in a smaller pitch with the Yankee Stadium visit.
And by the way, Doug Robertson, our buddy from AJC, posted the numbers from MLS standings. We were twice the number of the second largest attendance in MLS, and that was at Yankee Stadium with horrible sidelines, by the way. 45,000-plus last on Saturday night. Oh, by the way, another shout-out, great spot after the game. They had a band going. Again, we have your full disclosure now. We work for Intercom. We did not receive any services or goods. I'm just saying, it's a cool spot. The Elliott Street Pub, which is just south of Mercedes-Benz, just kind of go down the bridge when you walk out by gate, I guess it's four, and you come around the bend. And it's just a cool vibe. So cool to see so many United fans after the match. Ran into a guy from Australia who was saying it.
Down under.
Couldn't believe how great the vibe was at Mercedes-Benz. Oh, by the way, we didn't touch on it in the headlines. We also have a game four tonight in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yes, we do.
In D.C. as the Capitals. And I got to believe, brother, that the magic and the mystery and the excitement is coming to an end.
You think
the
so?
Vegas Knights.
You think so? All right, we'll see.
The Caps,
man,
just got, I mean, they've discovered clutch like they've never had with Alex Ovechkin.
If it's not going to happen now, when? For Ovechkin and company.
Right.
I mean, this is, you finally get past the Penguins. This is the one. And if they somehow find a way to blow it, Mike, I don't think he ever gets an NHL Stanley Cup. Hey, man, Jason Longshore next on Dukes and Bell.
Recap with 92.9 The Game soccer analyst Jason Longshore on Dukes and Bell.
All right, our United get another big W at Mercedes-Benz over the weekend. Roof was open, and Jason Longshore was there along with our man Mike Conti, bringing you the call right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Right now, we say good afternoon to our man Jason Longshore. Jason, you know, Mike and I were having this discussion. Want to get your thoughts on it. 70 minutes, you're playing 11-on-9, and our scoring opportunities and chances, you would have thought, at least I did, that we might have scored more goals than what we did, but we didn't.
You know, it's interesting when you start to dig into it, and there's an advanced stat that I'm not always fully on board with. It's called expected goals, XG.
Okay.
When those numbers came out, it said that Atlanta should have scored 4.96 goals with the chances they had. So not too far off. Not as much as I kind of thought watching it live, and definitely not as much as you know, like I've been talking to people since the game, and people are frustrated about missing chances. I kind of didn't feel like the chances were as good as the New England match. I think Matt Turner played really well in goal for the Revolution. Andre Blake's a great goalkeeper. He wasn't tested in the same way. The chance quality wasn't quite as good on Saturday night.
You know, Jason, it is so strange, and you've told us before about when you have the red card situation, how now it's literally, definitively, you're parking the bus in front of the net, so some of those opportunities become more difficult. It just seems like when Gressel's bringing the ball down the side, I guess the analogy I was using earlier is like transition. When we get into almost like attacking, and it's almost like we're not as good when we're static as opposed to when we're on the move.
Yeah, 100%. That's actually a great way to look at it. This team plays better on the run, and I think the second half against New England was a prime example of that. The problem Saturday night, and it's just human nature. You know, you have guys who played Wednesday, traveled Thursday, had a light training session, probably not all of them even took part in on Friday. Then you're turning around and playing Saturday. You get two red cards in 20 minutes, you let up. You know, you get a chance to rest in the game a little bit, knowing you have Open Cup coming up and a trip to New York, then a trip to Columbus. So you just naturally let up a little bit, and it's all about the 3 points. It's not about the style points, just all about seeing out the win.
What did you make of the red cards that were given out? Did you think they should have happened the way they did? I mean, listen, we're not cheering for the other squad, but you see that take place, and Mike and I have said again, what was said to cue the ref to make sure that he was ready to give that red card? How did you see that whole scenario playing out?
You know, it's funny. I was talking to a good referee friend of mine, and I think Mike actually nailed what was said by Madunyanin. That's my understanding of what was said, and my limited lip reading abilities. that's kind of where my head was at too. The Bedoya one was interesting because you go back and you look at the whole situation. The call's made. Philadelphia is trying to delay it so the video assistant referee can chime in, say you need to look at it, whatever. Stojan Stojka, the referee, was very clear in saying, no, that's it, no more, we're taking the penalty. And he even, when you go back and look at the replay, at one point at the end of this, he points at his chest where he has the yellow card in his pocket.
Right.
He points at that, and he puts his arms out and says, no more. And then after all of it, when Joseph is getting ready to take the penalty, Bedoya steps into the arc. I've also heard that Bedoya might have said some things that led to that second yellow. It might not have even been stepping in. It might have been some things he said.
Right.
But his is bad enough. The Madunyanin one, there's no excuse for. And his actions, which there were lots of them in that whole sequence, Philadelphia might not have Harris Madunyanin for a number of games going forward.
Yeah, it was pretty, if you didn't see it, he's pushing, he's shoving, and it was kind of funny because where we were sitting, it was almost like there were even some United players like trying to like, hey, come on, dude, seriously. You know, I mean,
Jeff Lorenowitz was right there. Yeah, Lorenowitz put his hands on him, like trying to help him.
Right, and that's my wife pointed that. I was like, wow, you see the replay, it's pretty wild. So getting back to the offenses, Jason Longshore is with us here, guys. He and Mike, of course, have the call. We got that game. We'll talk about U.S. Cup, the battery up in Kennesaw, and then a couple games on the road. What about the flow with Barco, Miggy? I mean, what has to change? Is that something that Tata, is it just simply feel that these guys are still getting to know and how they can function in the offense together? Or what am I missing?
Here's something I'll take away from Saturday. You saw when the red cards happened, Atlanta changed the formation up and went to a 4-2-3-1. Kind of alternating different ways of doing it. Gressel was the number 10 at points. Barco was the 10 at points. Almiron slid out to the left wing. It didn't click as well. I think the 4-2-3-1, which we saw most of last season, maybe isn't the best shape if Tito Villalba is not available.
Okay.
I think when he is available, it can work. And then the question is, do you play Barco as the 10 or do you play him on the wing and then you play Almiron as the 10? The personnel shift is the question here. The other thing about Saturday night, too, and, you know, this is not a knock on the as a player, but Ezekiel Barco struggled. He just had an off night. He wasn't in sync. He wasn't connecting. You know, this is a guy who lost his first he came in late in preseason because of the transfer drama. Then he had the injury at the end of preseason and had to start over again fitness-wise. And he's been playing a lot of games, a lot of minutes in a row. It looked like it took its toll on him. And Saturday night, he just wasn't sharp.
It is our man, Jason Longshore. Follow him at Longshoe on the Twitter. Here on Dukes and Bell, talking about our Atlanta United. Let's talk about this U.S. Open Cup and what it means for our club. For the average guy out there who may go, all right, wait a minute, they're playing MLS, but now they're going to play in this U.S. Open Cup up in Kennesaw. What is all of this, Jason?
So this is a big deal. This is the cup competition that every team in the country can enter. And the reason it's a big deal is if you win it, you go into the CONCACAF Champions League for next year. And Darren Eales has been very clear from day one when he was hired that this is a club in Atlanta United that is being built to compete on the world stage. Mm-hmm. The way you get to the world stage is you get into the Champions League and CONCACAF, you win that, and you go to the FIFA Club World Cup. And no MLS team in the current format of the CONCACAF Champions League has done that. Toronto lost in the final in penalties this year. So the club wants Atlanta to be the club that does that for the first time and gets to go play a Barcelona or a Real Madrid in a competitive match, not a friendly for fun, but a real competitive match. So it starts with the Open Cup, and it's the quickest way in. You win six matches, you're going to the CONCACAF Champions League, and it starts against the Charleston Battery. The flip side of that is the Charleston Battery are in the second division. This is the biggest match they'll play all season. Okay. And it's a team that takes the Open Cup very seriously. They're the last lower division team to make it to the final in 2008, where they lost to DC United. So this is a club that basically it's like your classic NCAA tournament matchup where you get the small school against the big school and the small school has nothing to lose.
Right.
And they're letting it all hang out in that match.
It is kind of neat, though, the history of it, like where you have like guys, was it the one, Jason, where it was like a bunch of guys in a bar in Baltimore come together and they're playing. I mean, so basically it's almost any organized team, not to oversimplify it, can play in this competition or has to qualify for it.
Yeah, you have to go into qualifying. So actually, late last year, you had the qualifiers for the local amateur teams. And a club here in Atlanta that plays in the Atlanta District Amateur Soccer League, Majestic, they entered. And they beat a team from Charleston, South Carolina in the first round. They went up to Nashville and lost to a club from Nashville in the second round. So you have all these great stories that emerge from it. The team you're thinking of, Christos FC, they were a club of a lot of former college guys who played in the Maryland area, and their sponsor is the Christos Liquor Store in Maryland.
Cool. I mean, it's kind of a neat story, but, I mean, they do this over in, I guess, in England, it's the FA Cup? Is that how it would be?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
where
the equivalent of that.
Gotcha.
How many starters? What's the lineup going to look like, do you think, on Wednesday?
One thing to keep in mind about Open Cup is you can only have five internationals in your game day 18-man roster. So Atlanta United has nine players that are classified as international players. They don't have a green card. And that's going to be a little tricky. I think you're going to see some starters rested. I think you're going to see the guys who didn't start on Saturday but were in the 18, guys like Brandon Vasquez, Kevin Kratz, Andrew Carlton, I think they'll start. And I think you might see a couple guys come up from ATL UTD too who have had good seasons because you can call up the USL players for the Open Cup. So a player like Jose Carranza, who's had a great season so far there, guys who are on loan from the first team like Lagos Kunga, who has a goal of the week and he's played great in USL, he might get the start. John Gallagher, the first-round draft pick, he scored a lot of goals in USL this season. He might get the start. So it'll be a little bit of a mixed lineup on Wednesday night.
Jason, it's always good to talk with you, man. Great analysis. And we look forward to hearing you on Wednesday, by the way. You and Mike will have the call of that game as well. So thanks again for jumping on.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
That's our man, Jason Longshore. Follow him at Longshoe on the Twitter. And again, guys, busy week. Not everybody's going to play in the match against the Battery, our former minor league team, as they heard from Jason, coming up at Fifth Third Bank in Kennesaw. But the big one, two of the best teams in the East, us and NYCFC. We mentioned it was a 2-2 tie. Energy-wise, it had a playoff kind of vibe when we played those guys at Mercedes-Benz earlier this year.
It really did. And listen, the pitch plays into their favor. But let's not make excuses. Let's not, you know, right. Start, oh, we need to go up there and handle our business. And hopefully we will, Mike. Hey, our game winner's coming up. But a reminder, guys, go to the website, 929thegame.com. Two things I want you to do. One, I want you to sign up for our golf tournament. It's our fifth annual celebrity golf tournament. We're teaming up with Grady Jarrett. More guys added today. Devontae Freeman, Keanu Neal. So, guys, come hang out. Come play with us. It's Wednesday, this Wednesday, 2 to 6 over at Top Golf in Midtown.
Yeah, we're kind of taking the idea of a classic golf tournament, kind of turning it on its ear and having some fun with Target Golf. And basically, you know, should be hopefully weather should be great this week. Grab a cold brew and hit the golf ball and have some fun and meet some of your favorite Falcons and NFL vets. And always cool catching up with Takeo Spikes and Ray Lewis and all those other guys, man. It's going to be a real blast.
It really is. Hey, and the other thing I want you to do is, while you're at the website, 929thegame.com/name our beer, because we're still looking for help. Mike, we've got over 350 entries of particular names and things that guys are saying, hey, this is what you should name the brew, thanks to Oconee Brewery, and we're still looking for a name. Just throwing it out there, man. If something comes to you, whether it's now or later this evening, go to the website, 929thegame.com/name our beer, and help us out.
Yeah, man. And, again, we've had some really good suggestions, but as we found out, as we've had our guys and our lawyers going over things, a lot of the really cool suggestions have already been taken by a bunch of pencil necks in the Pacific Northwest and in North Carolina and everywhere. These microbreweries are popping up. But nothing's as cool as a Oconee Brewery. We're going to be out there, looks like, next week to finally be letting you guys have a sample of tasting the goodness. Hey, man, our game winner, Mike Conti, brought this up earlier. We were talking about chain restaurants because it was who's dating the latest Kendall Jenner? That's Ben Simmons.
Ben
right?
Simmons, yeah, from the Sixers.
And nothing against a Cheesecake Factory, but I mean, there's only like, you know, a zillion restaurants in L.A. to go to. So Mike was saying, you know, Black Carcanti, joining the elitist theme of our show today, that he would never go to a chain restaurant in a city like New York or L.A., which brings us to another gastronomical question. Not a chain restaurant. So even though I love Carrabba's, that's my place. But, I mean, what's a place, mom and pop, that's your favorite place in Atlanta? You got a friend coming to town, your mom's in town, your dad. Where's the place you're taking them that is the best? The best of the best of the best.
Sir, 404-741-0929. We got a great – listen, our city is one of the best foodie cities in the world.
That's why we live here, man. It's part of the coolness about the ATL. What is your go-to spot? One restaurant.
Question.
Hey, man, your favorite restaurant. Nothing against chain restaurants. There are many good chain restaurants and people that work in them. But you love the neighborhood spot, whether it's fine dining. It doesn't have to be fine dining. What you like. What's your favorite neighborhood spot? Carl and I were just talking during the break. It's kind of like picking your favorite kid if you got children. I love Soto Soto over at Inman Park.
Mm.
We love Kevin Rathbun's Steak.
No doubt.
I mean, but then you tick off your other buddies who own other restaurants.
Well,
it's a good problem to have in this town.
And what I've learned, Mike, is depending on what part of town you're in, you could have a particular restaurant for that area. If you're in Decatur, mm-hmm. it could be a specific spot.
Right.
You're in the Fourth Ward, it's a spot. I mean, you go outside the perimeter, you've got your places. That's the uniqueness of Atlanta,
right,
guys.
On. Hey, man, let's see what the guys have to say. What's your go-to restaurant in town, man?
Man, I'm taking my people to the Flying Biscuit. And on a side note, you guys should name your beer Stardust Boogie after the Blind Bomber himself, the American Dream, or Armstead Delight.
Stardust Boogie. One guy just said, what about BYOB, Bring Your Own Blonde?
I love that.
Because it's a blonde ale we're doing.
BYOB, and the acronym is Bring Your Own Blonde.
Knox is going to have to get on that and make sure someone hasn't stolen that one already.
I really like that one. And by the way, the Flying Biscuit, those grits, man. Grits.
Oh. The grits, man. The grits. Hey, man, are these magic grits? And I'm not, as a New Yorker, grits is a tough concept for many Yankees
I love them. Now, come on.
No, but the Flying Biscuit or the grits, I will eat.
Yeah, they got good grits.
I'm just saying. Hey, man, you're on the radio.
Not everybody's got good grits.
What do you got for us, man?
Hey, man, I agree. Those Flying Biscuit grits are absolutely good.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to take my family when they come to town to the South Side, exit 201 off of 75. It's called Buckner's. If you've never been there, they have a Lady Susan. If you're not familiar, you sit at a big round table. You get fried chicken, and it's either going to be probably barbecue pork or it's going to be meatloaf, but you're going to get butter beans, green beans, corn. You're going to get peach cobbler.
You had me at meatloaf.
And biscuits.
Yeah, you had me on a table that spins.
You get water, sweet tea, or unsweet tea, but I'm telling you,
all right,
that's the best fried chicken you will ever put in your mouth.
Buckner's, B-U-C, or B-R-U? No, we'll find it out. Anybody else? Someone will know. Look quick. Somebody be Googling that.
Because he said exit 201.
And that's a whole other now, the fried chicken subject, that's a whole other
yeah, you in the South.
Subject for another South.
You in the South?
Yeah, man. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro.
Put it in your mouth.
Put it in your mouth in the South Side. Lazy Susan, by the way, same as Chinese when you go dim sun and the whole table just spins around.
That's
hey, man, what you got?
I like the Silver Skillet over there on 14th Street. And if you don't mind stretch marks over the crow feet, then you winning.
What?
The Silver Skillet's a great diner, right?
Yeah, it's right down the street. Right, it's a breakfast spot.
I just can't believe Jeremiah's coming inside the perimeter.
Yeah, well, I didn't understand the stretch marks part. Hey, speaking of tables, the gun show is another place, man. And it's a lot of people talk about it. If you've not been, that's a unique spot here in Atlanta.
And Buckner's on the south side. A couple guys in a Squid Billy looked it up. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What you got for your go-to restaurant? Not a chain. You're on the air. Hey, man.
How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Hey, you know, I like fried chicken. I like barbecue chicken.
I'm excited for you. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for us?
I have no idea where that was going.
Well, I just need a restaurant, sir. We all like fried chicken.
I like fried chicken.
You listen to the show, you enjoy fried chicken as well. You're on the air, Montfrere. What do you got? That's you. That's you. You know, the segment was going so well, and then the wheels. See, Jeremiah came on, screwed it up with the silver skillet. What do you got, bro? We're moving on from you. We're over here to line three. You're on the radio, buddy. What do you got
for
us?
What you got?
What's your go-to restaurant?
Show me what you got.
Show me.
I got La Fonda's on Ponce de Leon.
Okay.
La Fonda's been there forever.
They got those shrimp tacos. They got the salmon tacos.
Good call. But you got to pronounce it the right way. Shrimp. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for us?
Whoever pays me to come film a commercial, Chacha.
I don't know why you would say that. That's ridiculous.
Why is your voice sounding like that?
What are you talking about? I hope the brothers enjoy La Fonda. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for
brothers?
What do you got, man?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
So, yeah, I like pizza, so I'm going to Fellini's.
Fellini's, okay.
Good spot.
There you go. I mean, but but there are more than one, so that would be a chain, so you've just ruined the experiment.
And hey, Antico, man. Too, man.
Oh, yum. Hey, man, what you got?
My go-to restaurant is Broncos and Warner Robins.
Nice. Oh, wow. That's all the way down there on the south side. Mm-hmm. My, what a big antenna you've got. Hey, man, you're on the radio. What do you say?
Oh, man. Guys, you got to go to Fox Brothers Barbecue. Oh. That's the best spot in Atlanta.
It's a given. And the best thing about hanging around the Fox Brothers, you and I look thin.
That's true. No, he's true. Right about that.
I mean, they're buddies at bars. We're not lying. But no, yeah, man. True. Love Fox Brothers. Great guys. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What's your go-to restaurant?
Don't they have one at SunTrust? I'm just thinking out loud. Don't they?
Yeah.
I think they do. Yeah. I think they do. Anyways, yes, it is great. Great barbecue. Go ahead.
What you got? That's you, man.
Oh, it's Love for Republic, downtown Lawrenceville, right next to McCray's.
Okay. All right. I know where McCray's is. I got to go check it out. That's where Lawrenceville.
Great. Cheap food, or you can get yourself a $30 steak. Either one.
Mm. I like that kind of party. Hey, man, what's your go-to restaurant?
I can't remember what it's called, but it's on Spring. They got a killer open-faced tuna sandwich.
It's called Alluvia. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. That's how it bills to your credit card.
good luck.
You didn't have to dump that.
Good luck going in there, fellas.
You didn't have to dump that. It was cleaned. Yeah, no, he didn't. He said tuna.
He did say tuna.
You know, by the way, working for Squidbilly is like working for the FCC. You notice that, man? Bo is all over it on the dump button today. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for your go-to restaurant?
Yeah, man, I got the Blue Willow out of Social Circle, man. Best Sunday brunch you ever have in your life.
Don't have to yell at me, man. Sounds pretty good. I like
Sunday
it.
Sunday brunch, I'm down with that.
Off of 20. Hey, man, you're on the radio. What do you got? I got a dial tone. Hey, man, what do you got? Turn down your radio. Hey, man, it's our game winner tonight, a restaurant that you take your family to you love.
Gumbo's in Douglasville. Seafood is banging.
Seafood is banging.
That's how Jameis says it.
I'm down for some banging seafood.
If you're looking for some banging seafood, banging Gumbo's. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got?
Hey, man. Sam's on Main in Grayson. Mediterranean joint, fantastic food.
In Grayson, Georgia. Wow. We are covering a wide swath with the recommendations today.
This is a big show, Mike.
Right on.
Will says Pippin's Barbecue and McDonough. Just want to give him a shout-out because Will's an avid listener. So
interesting.
Pippin's Barbecue and McDonough.
Hey,
thanks,
man,
Will.
What's your favorite restaurant, bro? Can't be a chain.
The Nest in Kennesaw.
What?
The Nest.
Oh, yeah. The Nest. Nice.
Good spot.
Nice job, buddy boy. All right, one more. Hey, you're on the radio, Montfrere. What do you got?
Hey, man.
Best
food we got is at AJ's in Marietta. Best seafood ever.
Will you agree with that message?
Yes, it's very good. No doubt.
Sweet.
Great food.
All right, last one. I shouldn't do this, but I pressed the button again. What do you got for us, buddy?
Man, Soho Hibachi.
Soho Hibachi.
Rome, Georgia.
Rome.
Yep, Rome, Georgia. You got to try it.
Yeah, man.
Heard about it. Not been there yet.
Put some miles on a car. Hit Sony's recommendations. I'll tell you what.
We're going to go to every restaurant.
I was going to say, wow, man. We are at some point, we've pitched the idea of doing our fried chicken tour where we sample fried chicken from all over Georgia. And in broadcast from the joint. If we can make that work this summer, that might be a plan.
And we'll be 40 pounds bigger. Hey, the Falcons pick up Sun wide receiver, who's this, Taj Williams?
Yep. Where's he from, Squid? Where's Taj from, man? He's a guy. He's on the roster.
Spent the last two seasons at TCU. I'm just looking at this, guys. Caught 41 passes, 735 yards, six touchdowns.
All right.
So, yeah, again, Williams' addition gives the Falcons 14 receivers. To their offseason roster.
Well, they're giving Stark a real Whitman sampler to choose from.
Hey, we'll see where this goes. Hey, go sign up for our golf tournament, man, and come hang out with us and a variety of current and former NFL players. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up and hand things over to Andy Bunker next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.